All right, well, we are wrapping up our Beatitude study, and we've been talking about being blessed or blessed, this whole idea that the person who is blessed has God Himself dwelling in our hearts, and Debbie pointed out the Holy Spirit is in us and guiding our lives this morning. I hope you've all been as blessed as Ben and Kegan and myself have been studying and preparing for these messages. No pun intended. Have you been blessed? I hope so. So we're coming to the last one today, number 8, Matthew 5, 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's Jesus speaking. In other words, say all kinds of evil against you because of Jesus. Rejoice, worship, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'm going to invite you to watch a short video clip. Just, there's so many about the persecuted church, and I want to touch on that briefly this morning, but I want to get into a much deeper place under the table, so to speak, of why. So as we watch the video, just be in a spirit of prayer for those in the Debbie mentioned Syria, but all over the world, the church is being persecuted, and just be in a spirit of prayer. I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning in prayer for the persecuted church. Father, we thank you that you love people and you save us to send us. So we think about the Great Commission. And so, Father, we pray this morning for your mercies and protection. God, we think of so many places in the world where people who have stake their faith and their future on Jesus are running up against opposition. We ask your covering, your blessing, and your peace over them. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds this morning. Give us clarity. Give me clarity as we try and look a little bit at the root of why this persecution, why these insults, why this opposition. Teach us this morning, Father, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we hear a lot about persecution. Why persecution? Why, when a person submits themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ, to his work in their lives, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, trusting in Jesus for righteousness, for salvation, for right relationship with God, why does that bring about and stir opposition? What is it about being a person, a Christian, in whose heart God Himself dwells that results in persecution and insult? To be honest, as I was studying this week and preparing, thinking, wow, I have not done a very good job when I invite somebody to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, of telling them in the same breath that you're going to be insulted and you're going to have opposition come against you. Because this scripture this morning, if you want to put that back up, Marty, seems to say that they are intertwined inseparably. So why? That's what I'm going to try and explore this morning. And I'm just going to lay the whole package out right up front. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to give you a statement to think about. If you want to write something down this morning, write this down if you're a note taker. It's simply this. I'm trying to encapsulate everything I'm going to talk about this morning in one phrase. Resting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ will expose self-righteousness, resulting in opposition, insults, and even persecution. Now, I've had all week to chew on this, so let me say it one more time. Resting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ will expose self-righteousness, resulting in opposition, insults, and even persecution. I'm going to try and unpack that statement for us in the next hour and a half or two. I was serious. It's not funny. We need to have an understanding, and I think we do if we get into the depths of ourselves, just into our own hearts, how much tension there is, how big of a divide there is between resting in the righteousness of Jesus and self-righteousness. In other words, depending on oneself for rightness before God, or for meaning in life, or having significance and power and influence as we live our lives these few short years here on earth. There's a great tension between righteousness and Jesus and self-righteousness. So let's look at these two things. Righteousness, it's the state of a person who, well, I didn't write that very well. The state of a person who is as they ought to be. Everything is right. In other words, like right as it was before sin entered the world. It's a condition of being acceptable to God. Everything made right, acceptable to God. But there's an issue. Because Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands and no one who seeks God. And this was Paul just kind of laying out the state of humanity apart from Jesus Christ. No one is righteous. No one. But then we drop down to Romans 3:21. I think this set of verses I've loved this set of verses for a long time. So no one is righteous, he says, but now in verse 21 in Romans 3, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for atonement. In other words, one who would take care of God's wrath, taking away sin. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. In other words, God had to deal with sin because God hates sin. And so God dealt with sin by providing Jesus as an atonement for our sin, for my sin, for your sin, for all the sins of the world. If we're going to rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we've got to embrace that truth, that no one is righteous, and only through Christ can we be declared right, can we be acceptable to God. So that's one half the equation. So what's it mean to be self-righteous? Well, I'm just telling you, you're starting from behind and you're never going to catch up because no one is righteous, not even one. You can't catch up. You can't start out not righteous and somehow get righteous by yourself. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So we can't say on one hand that we are resting in the righteousness of Jesus and then also be trying to do that by ourselves. You can't do it. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. So there's this tension between the spirit-filled living, the person in whose God, in whose heart God himself dwells, and the self-driven worldly systems that start within our very heart, the very core of who we are, and they spread out. You see the whole world operating that in that these selfish worldly systems. So we've got this tension this struggle in our own hearts. The enemy says to us, what does he say to us? He says things to us like, we're not good enough. We're not right enough. That we can't trust God. And so if we can't trust God, then who do we rely on? Ourself. And yet Jesus said we can't serve two masters. You know, that can be a tension in the church. It's a tension between believers and unbelievers. How's that a tension in the church? Well, if one person's struggling with depending on themselves and another person's resting in the righteousness of Jesus, that creates a tension. And we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to take a few minutes and just review the Beatitudes that we've already talked about. And they are progressional Beatitudes. We haven't really talked about that, but there's a progression here. The first one was the poor in spirit, the broken person who recognizes complete God dependence. We're broken in our spirits. We are not self-reliant. We are God dependent, poor in spirit. Then we talked about mourning, talked about grieving our sin, not grieving our circumstances, but grieving our sin. So the person who is first broken in spirit, then they begin to grieve their sin, and then out of that becomes a humbleness. And basically, I should go back and talk about all these messages again, but we're not infatuated with my rights. When we have a spirit of meekness, we are not infatuated with my rights. Next is hunger and thirst for righteousness. Kagan preached that morning. This trust and belief that God will make all things right. Who will make all things right? God, not self, God. And when we've experienced, because God's beginning to dwell in our hearts, this dependence and this grieving over sin and this giving up of our rights and this intense belief and trust that God will make all things right, we've received his mercy, then we begin to offer mercy. Till we receive mercy, we don't know how to offer mercy. And then just a week or two ago, we talked about the pure in heart, allowing the Holy Spirit and fire to refine and continue to perfect those things in our life that need to be burned away. Last week, Ben talked about peacemakers. The peace that Jesus brought to humanity. And then he entrusts peacemaking to those in whose heart he dwells. So that's the background to this resting in the righteousness of Jesus. Why did I go back over them? Because all of them are the opposite of self. There's no self in any of them. And so when somebody who is operating with the Spirit of God in them, resting in the righteousness of Jesus, when these things are coming out in a person, they begin to expose self-righteousness around us, right? If you and I are interacting and one of us is resting in the righteousness of Jesus and the other is operating in self-righteousness, that tension is going to be exposed. You following? Let's do one more exercise. Well, that doesn't show up very good. The fruits of the Spirit that you see when you walk in out here every time you walk in the building. They're fruit of the Spirit. They're because of the Spirit of God in us. Things like faithfulness. A person in whom God himself dwells is faithful. That begins to expose unfaithfulness. Goodness begins to expose. Oh, this is bad, on goodness. The person in whose heart God himself dwells, kindness begins to expose hatred, or love begins to expose hatred. Joy begins to expose the opposite, patience and gentleness. Even this self-control that it's talked about is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of the self. And every time those things are set beside somebody who is self-righteous, it begins to expose things. There's some really interesting, I just have to tell you, I had to leave a lot of stuff on the editing pile, if you know what I mean, this week, or we would have been here for a couple hours. But blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Jesus' righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. What is it about Jesus? Like, I've had people say things about me, but is it because of Jesus? Have you thought about that? So why is, this was basically a video on youth in the world or in the persecuted church. What is it about their proclamation of Jesus in their life that causes them to be persecuted? I mean, it's not just because they're not being persecuted because they're doing good things. I mean, have you really ever stopped to think about why? Because it really doesn't make any sense unless we dig a little deeper. How is a person insulted for righteousness? How is a person insulted for resting in the righteousness of Jesus? Okay, remember everything we just talked about with the former Beatitudes that build up to this one, fruit of the Spirit, gossip and slander, and being judged about sin that has been washed by the blood of Jesus is one way that we insult and persecute each other and bring opposition against each other. Sometimes we're slandered or insulted or judged for not performing well enough. When I say performing, I'm talking about earning our salvation, being good before God. You may say, Darren, you're being a little easy on sin, aren't you? I mean, sin hurts people, and we need to keep the church pure. So remember, we already established that the remedy for sin, which we're all guilty of, was sent by God and was not sent by you or me. And the person who is resting, having this deep peace or no need to justify or defend in the righteousness of Jesus, already knows that they're poor in spirit. They already have mourned over their sin. They've already been humbled. They've already been shown mercy. So when we keep bringing up somebody's sin, are we insulting them because of Jesus, because of them resting in the blood of Jesus? Just think about it. Because the person who's resting in the righteousness of Jesus does not defend. They don't try and make things look better. They simply say, I am broken. I am in need of mercy. I mourn my sin. And that's enough for Jesus. See, persecution doesn't start between Muslim and Christian or whoever. It starts between those who are resting in the righteousness of Jesus and those who are self-righteous. You think about the persecution in the world, a lot of it has to do with those who are trying to earn their way to God versus those who are saying Jesus is simply enough. And the tension between those two begins to expose things. Is this making sense? I hope. So I keep just kind of going off and if you lost me, just try and jump on board for a minute. How did the chief priests, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, those obsessed by the law and their own self-righteousness, how did they mock Jesus when he was on the cross? Do you remember? They said, come down off that cross and what? Save yourself. That's what they mocked Jesus with. Come down off the cross and save yourself. You know, and that's the very thing that each and every one of us has to battle. There's this tension. There's this desire and belief that somehow we can come down off the cross and save ourselves. Jesus, fully God but also fully human, had to make a choice. He said, do I take matters into my own hands and show them my power and come down off this cross and save myself? Or do I submit to the will of the Father? You know, the Father loves all that he created and he also hates sin. And because of both, Jesus knew he was being offered as a sacrifice for all the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. And he had to trust that dying on that cross, that the power of God will raise him to life. It's when we get to that place of resting in the righteousness of Jesus, friends, that we may very well be insulted by those who think that relying on self can save. There's just too much tension. There's too big of a divide between the righteousness of Jesus and self-righteousness. Because when stood side by side, self will be exposed and there's going to be a reaction. You know, I was talking about this with Karen this week, and she reminded me of the Hasidians, the very religious Jewish community about 170 CC or BC during the Maccabean revolt. The group's name was derived from the Old Testament concept of Hasidim. In other words, they were saints and they were faithful and they were staking their claim on that. Sounds like the kind of people we want to be, right? Well, they were really devoted to their religious freedom and obedience to the law. And they were emphatic that they would only worship God or Yahweh. And they literally fought. They were part of this revolution, and they fought. Well, they didn't have guns, but they fought for that right during that time of upheaval with it called the intertestamental period between the Old and New Testament. They were going to make things happen. And they would defend God, and they were committed to worshiping him only. Do you know who was mocking Jesus on the cross by shouting, "Save yourself"? You guessed it. Those very people became Pharisees and Essenes and other religious leaders. See, their DNA was that you take matters into your own hands. They defended their right to worship. "I'll save myself from the evil one. I'll save myself from the evil around me." And they mocked Jesus to do the very same thing that they had done several generations before. Save yourself. Save yourself. Expect insults. People talking falsely about you when you rest in the righteousness of Jesus. You know, Jesus even reminds us in verse 12 there of what happens to those who have found refuge and rest in him are no different than the prophets of the Old Testament. You know, some of the prophets, when they were filled with the Spirit of God, if I'm not going to take time to list, I could list a bunch of them, says the Spirit of God came upon them. God himself dwelt in their hearts. Well, those same prophets, some of them were killed and persecuted by religious leaders, kings who led God's people. Even Jezebel, the wife of one of the kings, had a bunch of the prophets killed. See, when God sent his prophets, righteousness exposed self-righteousness, which is really just another word for disobedience, and people died. It was righteousness set against self-righteousness. So my question this morning, are you and I experiencing the rest and the freedom and joy in your life that only comes from resting in the righteousness of Jesus? And all the rewards that come from being a part of his kingdom. I mean, Debbie just laid it out. We have a reward. We can come to our Father in heaven, not just now, but in eternity. Or are you and I still trying to attain some kind of self-righteousness that all the selfish worldly systems push us towards, trying to justify what we do, to self-protect the present, judging others from our selfish perception, but with no sure hope and assurance of a glorious relationship with our Creator both now and forever? I would invite all of us to be like Jesus and resist the clamor, the continuous shouting in our ears to save ourselves. Submit to the will of the Father, take up our cross daily, and trust in the resurrection power of God in our lives. Paul talks in Romans 8 about this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, sons and daughters of God. And by him we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If, indeed, we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. What was the suffering? You know, I wasn't going to go here, but I am. Sometimes we talk about, we make statements like, wow, to suffer for Jesus, that's a badge of honor in my life. That's baloney. Nobody wants to suffer. Jesus even asked, Father, if it be your will, take this from me. I don't want to do this. There is no, the sharing of Jesus in his sufferings is taking on that cross and saying, you know what, I'm not going to save myself. And he could have. That started way back in the garden. What Adam and Eve do? They tried to save themselves. They tried to provide their own covering. It's built in our DNA as human beings. Let's save ourselves. Why is there persecution in the world? Why are people being beheaded? Why are people being insulted in the church? Because resting in the righteousness of Jesus exposes self-righteousness, and there's reaction. I hope you're hearing me this morning. Self-righteousness is at war with resting in the righteousness of Jesus. And church, it's time to rest. It's time to rest. One more thing I'd like to share with you. Our first statement, resting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ will expose self-righteousness, resulting in opposition, insults, and even persecution. But I'm going to go one step further now. Or, those who are self-righteous may be drawn to new life in Christ by the righteous who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, bringing praise to the Father in heaven, which is actually the next set of verses about being salt and being a city on a hill. Until we rest in Jesus and his righteousness, we are not salt and we are not light. Until we rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are not salt and we are not light. Emily picks songs about God's faithfulness. Because God is faithful, we can rest in his righteousness. We don't have to save ourselves. We can't. Let's stand and sing together. And maybe God's been speaking to your heart this morning. It's like, wow, I've not been staying on the cross. I've been coming down off trying to save myself. Or possibly, you know what? I've been reacting. I've been the reactor. I've been causing problems in people's lives because of my own self-righteousness. I don't know what it is that God spoke to you this morning. But I would encourage you as we sing of God's great faithfulness, you talk to him about it. He's listening. He's ready. He's right there.